say I can explain why we went to this bridge.
I can explain it. Me, I can explain it. It'd be life. Look, life was life. We live in Ghana. Life was happening.
Life was life, true. Because me, no get now. I had plenty of obligations throughout the last month. Everybody else was just busy here and there. So it's been a lot. But in the end, we are back. We never go away for too long. Once it's not a permanent break, it's all good. And yeah.
It's transfer season. It's a little quiet.
Yeah, it's a bit quiet. We missed the Euros and Copa America small, but I mean, like, how we go do? I'm like, we didn't miss much, and we had a pre-episode ahead of the Euros, so we covered some predictions. We did a little. So anyway, I'm joined by Corey and Van Gelder. Hopefully, KO might join us later. But guys, also
back again.
Happy days.
So yeah, let's just jump right into it because we've had a very eventful last month, so we have a lot to cover. Best place and obvious place to start is the just ended European Championships, which saw Spain lifting their third championship, which is like, and it's also the first one was actually the 2008 one when the super team was building up.
I'm including 1950 something or 1984, I think.
Your age?
No. Their wins were my own. Yeah. Because it's the fourth time they've been crowned European champions.
Hey, okay, maybe I'll forgot to check my statistics again. But I mean, the ones I know of are the 2008, 2012, and now. So yeah, it was a very eventful tournament. For me, it started well. The group stages were quite exciting. We saw some very exciting football. And then later, there was a little debate about how the tournament was going. People were saying that the tournament is boring, the group stage is boring, football has fallen off, the football is too conservative, all sorts of things. Let me start with Van Gelder. How do you feel about the Euros? First of all, was it exciting for you? And how do you feel about the organization and how everything went in general?
Good evening and hello to our listeners. It's good to be back. Me personally, dear, I don't lie, I don't enjoy them like that. I don't lie. All the big teams and Shan, the small teams, be like, see, then get better coaches past the big teams. So, and it was a tournament that kind of showcased that if you try to play this overly tactical, overly systemized kind of football, you know they be. The coaches wait and they play actual attacking football, then they try create dentists. If them the majority, you see Turkey, Georgia, Austria, then camp teams. All these other teams except England, because them the coaches shine. You know, if they tried any tactical, son of a son. But like all the other teams that try to play this kind of tactical, you know, we have this big mind kind of, it wasn't enjoyable, honestly. And I think with the exception of the actual eventual winner, Spain, I don't think I was impressed by any big team, to be very honest. France was not good. Bro, they didn't score a goal from open play till like, what do you call it? Like the semi-final or something.
The semi-final.
Yeah, that was the first time they scored a goal from open play. France, come on, let's be serious. Look at England. You get in fix this. You didn't play Gallagher and since then. Look at that. Netherlands, my dark horses. Let the record reflect that I won the dark horses to be. But yeah, my dark horses, Netherlands, did very well. They went as far as they could, but again, it was Ronald Koeman. So you know what to expect. In team go capitulate at some point. We had a big team every day. Portugal, Hollander in the boys too. I'm fat. So we do not know what do what they go on for there. It's just, I don't know. All the big teams, I just couldn't. Maybe the only other big team actually that did well, played good football, was Germany. I don't want to talk about some people that my boy way it cost them, but it could. Anyway, yeah. So at the end of the day, I think with the exception of Spain and Germany, all the other big teams didn't play well. The teams that made the Euros slightly enjoyable were the smaller teams, your Georgias, your Turkeys, your Slovenias, your Austrias. Those guys trying to just play football, Romania, then things. If then they make the USB, all the big teams where then everybody they look up to say, oh, we will see, say this people they force, then get the players, then get a tactical one, and fat. So for me personally, I didn't enjoy the Euros at all. I think this is one of the poorest Euros. And I'm just talking in terms of entertainment value. Tactical is a totally different conversation altogether. Even the tactical stuff, I think the small teams had the better coaches who outclassed and outmaneuvered the big teams. In the end, for a lot of the big teams, it was just having individual brilliance to win certain games. We can't sit here and see any big team flat out beat any small team, and then we're all like, yeah, Charlie, this one, the levels showed. Like, we can't, right? So for me, I think this is one of the poorest Euros I've witnessed in terms of entertainment value. Tactically, another conversation can be had, but in terms of entertainment value, I think this is one of the poorest Euros I've seen.
Corey, do you agree with this negative outcome?
I wouldn't say I'm in line with Vangelda, to be honest. I watched, let's say, 97% of the games. I enjoyed, let's say, 90% of the games. I thought, in my head, I had it in my head that a lot of the players were tired from the seasons they had had. And so I wasn't really expecting a phenomenal tournament, and we didn't get a phenomenal tournament. I have to agree with that one. But I've been saying it since about the quarterfinals that African Cup of Nations over Euros, in terms of the drama, in terms of the action, the football that was played. What I'll say is that aesthetically, Euros over African Cup, because obviously, Charlie, Abrochi nice. But in terms of the drama, I think African Cup gave us a lot more. I thought it was. I don't know whether because we're African, so we are slightly biased. But I'm trying to analyze this from an unbiased point of view, and I think African Cup gave a little bit more. But back to the Euros, I thought it was a well-organized tournament compared to Copa America, let's say. I thought the big teams disappointed me a lot. A lot. France, number one. Mbappe didn't show up. He said his nose was broken, so he couldn't play well. But France was utter trash. Their whole setup was, their whole midfield was just unbalanced. So the rest of the team was just, you could clearly see they lacked a Pogba. My man came to the stadium feeling bish. Like, yeah, y'all niggas still need me, but I mean, he said doping, so me a day. I thought Italy was also a little disappointing, but Italy have been dross for a minute, man. Italy, since that Demogorgon generation died down, since the last Euros they won, bro, the Immobiles and things
even the last Euros they won, safe.
It was unexpected.
That's what England tried to use to win this one, where it'd be like a inner sauce, but Germany played good football. I thought Germany was. I had them. I thought they would use the host nation vim to carry them to the final. Spain, man. I don't know whether is the tiki taka, the fact that majority of the team was from maybe two or three teams in La Liga, so there wasn't that much variation in the way they play, but they seem to click more than any other nation. I don't know whether their manager just gave them the right tactics, where just do this and this and this, and the rest feel free. Everybody else tried to be pseudo Pep. They all tried to do these systems and you know, we are holding this. The most, the people that tried that thing the most was Southgate. And Southgate, you shall already. All you know is man management. You can talk to their boys. But in terms of your tactical play, bro, we have seen this. He's gotten them to finals, yes. But that, look at Spain's journey to the final and compare it to England's journey to the final. There's no comparison. Look at the teams Spain had to beat. If you've beaten Germany, France, Portugal, Italy, like, what? Who is England? Who's England? Like, why did you keep interrupting my takes?
I'm sorry, but you see, I just want to play devil's advocate 1 second. One might say you can only beat the teams ahead of you.
Yeah, it is true. I understand. But if you look at the caliber of teams they beat and the performances they gave in those matches, none of the teams touched them. Like none of the teams. Look, these guys won every single game they played in the Euros. That is not easy. They went 7 out of 7. Like that is not easy at all. And the teams that were in their 7 was difficult. Which is why I big up Spain a lot in their manager. This manager has won under 15, under 21,
under 19.
And then the main challenge. He's been building up to it. Having a 16-year-old, it still busts my mind. It really still busts my mind. Having a 16-year-old performing at that level, you gotta give it up, man. So I don't want to keep dragging on and picking on every single team, but I thought it was a good tournament. I enjoyed what I watched. If they said they were running it back again, I probably wouldn't watch as many games, to be very honest. Like right now, they said they're running, I wouldn't watch as many games. I watched that many games because I miss football. But overall, good tournament. Congratulations to Spain. England, take your haram for football with Southgate and stick it up your ass. And I hope the boys now... I'm glad that we didn't get too many injuries, like bad injuries during this tournament. That's one thing that has to be mentioned. A lot of people came out unscathed, apart from Pedri, I think.
Yeah.
And they say Rodri and Tim be some ACL or something.
Some bad. 6 months pay.
Some 6 months. I mean, you know. Wait, but you yeah, I think I think. Oh yeah, in terms of the lack of injuries too, I think it was a good tournament. So overall, yeah, man, not bad at all.
So one thing I would say is that maybe I would agree with the fact that it was underwhelming in terms of the big boys not showing up. I wonder, like, obviously, in terms of both teams. Scored. Yeah, in terms of both teams, I know during the group stage they broke the record for most goals scored at that stage, really? Something like that. There was a record like that. Then when it goes to the knockout stage, then everything just tailed off. But also the context too is that the tournament used to be 16 teams, so now that it's 24 teams, obviously there'll be more goals scored. So it's better to measure goals per game. I don't know what the goals per game looks like, but yeah. Yeah. So, in terms of the big boys not showing up, yeah, I agree, because France, they were terrible. Deschamps, Charlie, me, I'm a France guy, so it's very painful to watch. Deschamps is enough. He has to go. Make Zidane too, can't feel some. He built towards the 2026 World Cup. England, Southgate, is very hard to gauge him as a manager. Like, because
It's not hard.
Here's why it's hard for me. Because on the one hand, you can see that they are playing atrocious football. On the other hand, it's working because he's literally the best. Like, you can't argue against him being the best England manager after...
Do you know why Ben have gone far? The players.
So the other look at Bellingham. Bellingham also gets out players.
That crap from... No, Masa.
They had a golden generation with Beckham, Lampard, Gerrard, Paul Scholes, Rooney, Michael Owen, Rio Ferdinand, John Terry, Gary Neville, Ashley Cole, all in one team. Yeah, these are all bona fide legends.
Wait, but so, all those guys also played against Figo, Cannavaro. We're going to list the people.
Yeah, but in the end,
everybody get level.
Yes, but in the end, they never got to a semi-final. That team never got to a semi-final.
And that's because
I'll give you that,
team, bro. If you go watch the Portugal team for like the people that play Korea, Japan, then the people that play.
Honestly, if you go man to man. The names that I just mentioned, if you go man to man with Portugal, Charlie, you can't tell me that Portugal team had a superior team. Because the Ronaldo of that Portugal team, that's 2006 Ronaldo. This is Ronaldo before he really exploded. Because the 2006-2007 season is when Ronaldo really exploded as a player. Before that, he was more still like an immature prospect. 2006-2007 was his first season winning like player of the season for Man United. So it was a season before that, like that was 2006 summer that he played that World Cup. Figo, he was very old by then. The rest, Charlie, Manish, Deco, man to man, if you're comparing to Gerrard, Lampard, Charlie, come on. It's...
Bro, they had Manish, Costinha.
You can't tell me, say, them people better pass Lampard, Gerrard,
Rooney. Them are final, the people that play the final. Goalkeeper, Ricardo. Right back, Miguel. Andrade, Carvalho, Valente, Costinha,
John Terry, Rio Ferdinand,
Figo, Ronaldo, Pauleta. Bro, I'm not having it.
Beckham, Gerrard, Lampard, Scholes. Bro, man to man. No, man to man.
But how many times was England bailed out last minute this tournament?
Yeah, Saka, so
Bellingham.
A lot of times they were built out to it was through Southgate's substitution. It appears me say right now the defense Southgate because like I can't.
They see the time where then the investigative then will start Ten Hag or not.
Mm.
If assuming that time is still now, and Southgate was the proposed first choice of the
you see, I've already clarified that me, I don't like Southgate. So make you not be like at the triathlon say South, I don't like him, but he's done a good job. It's you can say that to those two things without them being linked. In international football, already international football, most of the managers are not good enough to be club football managers at the highest level. So Southgate's not being good enough to manage United doesn't mean that he's not doing a good job at England. Like,
how's that? There's two different things.
No, like, but Van Gelder.
Two finals, one Van semi-final Van out of five tournaments.
But let's not ignore the fact that every time England, in this time that you are talking about, too, they are always in the better and more favorable side of the competition.
So are you saying since 1966? Since 1966, they've never had a favorable side into a final.
If you they meet Portugal,
they've not gotten to a final since 1966. So he's going to two.
If you they meet Portugal from that time, then time Portugal in quarterfinal, you are getting beat. it's not up for discussion. You are getting beat.
No,
do you know how long 1966 was?
I shocked.
You can't tell me that for every tournament since 1966, they've not had a favorable draw.
Bangada, as much as I have to be honest, as much as we want set agenda, they blast Southgate dead since two finals and the semifinals in international management in OPP
out of four tournaments.
Out of four, it's a feat. We have to give.
I'm not even sure if France have gotten that many.
No,
in the last four.
But in all of those, he didn't go over the final hurdle. True, but
and in all of those, my problem is if he had done what Spain had done, beating some of the best guys on the block, if England was on the side of Spain, they wouldn't even make it past quarterfinal. Why?
Don't they? But you yourself said you can only beat what is in front of you. You yourself, you talk
about it. And because I know I said that, that is why I'm saying, let's not take it out of context and make it seem like they, because every time too they meet somebody where it be either their level or above them, then they lose.
Don't they agree?
The argument that people have been giving for the Southgate thing is that it's not that he didn't do well, but the performances of the team did not match the players that were in there. They expected them to be attacking like the way Spain attacked, with flow, with pace. But Opana was selecting names. Why Bellingham and Foden did the same team inside with the not if he clicked, they were occupying same positions and confusing each other. Then first he started Foden on the left. Eventually he moved him to Diamond with Kane up top, but then Bellingham and Foden behind into his
position. He was trying to fit him in by force.
Trying to fit. Meanwhile, Anthony Gordon, they sit bench, they stare. That guy has a chaos factor. Where if he cause a lot of problems.
Because they need runners in the team. They need runners.
They need runners.
That is what a Harry Kane, who is no longer fast, well, has never been fast, but is no longer able to play that much on the break.
Person that vex me, because Kane even if you're not fast, you can still hang on the last man and try and be there for those final passes.
Kane had a very poor tournament because he didn't have, honestly, I think if he had runners behind him, our opinion of his tournament would have been totally different.
That's also,
he had no runners behind him. Kane would drop in deep and Philip Walter Foden will follow him to the middle. I mean, at the end of the day, as for me, well, Edira, they have to say England, they win, right? Mm-hmm. But I just knew that it was impossible for them to be playing the way they've been playing. And it's not just like maybe they go to the round of whatever they call it, the knockout stage, and then they start playing poorly. Aside from day one, everybody that watched England's first game was underwhelmed. Like, hey, is this what we are going to watch the whole tournament? Next game.
If England had won this tournament on the football they were playing, it would have been a crime.
Yeah. Crime against humanity, straight.
Spain was entertaining and they won the tournament rightfully so. England had no right to be there.
I'll be results first guy. If you win a tournament playing atrocious football, that one day you wouldn't be the first person to do it. To me, I'm not going to judge you on that. Right. But it's only that there are certain decisions he could have made to make things easier for himself. Even in playing that football, like you said, playing Gordon, it would have made things easier. Gordon or just somebody who can make those runs for Kane and everybody else. Because Southgate, in as much as he is an achievement getting to the final and everything too, it shows the immaturity because you feel like you have these good players, you have to fit all of them in the same team by force. Like the time when England had Gerrard, Lampard, Scholes,
like, and Doublé, Scholes on the left, same thing as a player,
and all of those things. If you look, there are other teams that have two great players in the same position. If the manager is a very good and firm manager, he ends up picking between the two. Perfect example is Del Piero and Totti. They hardly ever played together for Italy. So if you realize, Totti didn't have that many appearances for Italy. I think he really had like 50 or something, which for a player of his caliber is, and the length of career that he had, is very small. Every time they went with Del Piero, then every now and then they play Totti. So that's how it's supposed to be when you have two players who are good in the same position.
You've gone for Pedri and Olmo. This tournament, exactly. Pedri is that. As Pedri had before Olmo came inside, Olmo came on as subs. The same with Fabian Ruiz and Tins. They all did the ball, but they didn't put Pedri, Olmo, Fabian Ruiz, Rodri, he didn't put all of them on the field.
Let me give you one more example.
It's like a child with plenty of toys and he wants to play with all those toys. So
let me give you one more example. France. Mm. They had Kamavinga, they had Tchouaméni, they had Kanté. Oh, sorry. Kamavinga. Oh, yeah, dear. Mbappé in a bench. Obet Kane were bench. If Kante then or Tchouaméni tire, then you will come inside, can't play so.
Speaking of Kante, had a solid tournament.
He did.
I thought he had a solid tournament, though.
We will come back.
But you make a fit. Are you a finish? Yeah, so the big boys didn't show up. Both the team, the national teams, and the big players too, because Mbappe didn't show up. I will give him the nose mask, you go where you say face break, whatever. But I mean, I heard some other professional, like retired players talking about it. And they said that sometimes it can be a hindrance to have that thing on your face, even in terms of being able to look around, scan, because at that level, the way things move, any small thing that gives you a disadvantage, it can affect you. So
I won't base question about that one. Mm-hmm. So if the mask did your face, it hinder how much
it will block the side of
the
side of your eyes. Somebody they come so small, 1 centimeter, it can be a disadvantage.
Then you blind spot.
As you say, it gets some chances where it not be the eye way, you know, they can see the ball, then go away. It affect the chances.
I see you won't cook something. You know what? I
just the base. Because if I see goal, you know, but whether I get this eye or I get this eye,
well, you know, your glasses you they wear, you see, say, even some small parts, so
you
know what, Curry, you know what? I like the smell of worms, I like what I'm smelling. You know what, cook, I like it.
No, because see, it gets some chance. We all tweet that as soon as he strike that ball, we all tweet, Mbappe, do this. When me I know say even if it be 1 centimeter I go bow, 2 centimeters, 5 inches safe I go bow, massa. That was at least 3 or 4 yards above the bar. Now one place. So if the nose in the head up, as soon as the Mbappe start the channel, the media say he say he know they can sleep. Say he knows the head up the whole night, so he get up money, he get headache. So enough, he really play. But my boy still put captain's armband, say he be fit to play. If you are fit, why you not bench?
I mean, he'd be passionate. Like for a player at his level, I understand why he would want to play through the pain barrier and everything. Because like, he's the country's hope. He's like everything. Because if you notice, in this particular tournament, France, in previous tournaments, they had more star power. Like they have good players, but the actual stars. Previous, like Griezmann isn't the same Griezmann from even the 2020.
Even the World Cup.
Not even close. From the World Cup. Close, bro.
Back then, too, they also had Pogba, who was carrying, like, doing a lot of heavy lifting in the midfield. Yeah. So, and then Benzema, the last World Cup, okay, Benzema missed out. But it was the last Euros Benzema played. That was when they got knocked out. Is it Switzerland or I forgot it? I'm mixing up something.
Giroud and Mbappe waited and they lead the line in case of any yawa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then Griezmann came back for
if he pop up. Yeah, and
Griezmann was a bigger player than he is. Right now, if you watch the France team, the attack is like it's him and a bunch of underwhelming guys who don't have end product. Then
bro.
That
guy, me, I figured see, then some people want, then the one package soap give me 92 million. They said I gotta be 90 million pounds.
That guy,
is it safe to say Dembele at 18 years old?
You can't mean something.
Be the same player at 27 with a mustache,
exactly. He has not improved on his game even 1 inch since then. And
not
it's very
a
painful.
Single inch.
Because I even have this argument about players who are too talented, but I don't want to go into that because it's a whole conversation on its own. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the big boys, the players didn't show up. Mbappe, Kane, Lewandowski didn't show up. Bruno had an underwhelming tournament. Bernardo Silva, even right now, Foden, since then, won't insert him into Ballon d'Or conversations. We've insert him into this because Foden is now worth 24, 25. So, yeah. He's the same. He's around the same age as Mbappe. So the same scrutiny we will give to Mbappe, if you want to call him a Ballon d'Or level talent, we have to give it to him. So the big boys really didn't show up. But on the other hand, this is a tournament where, like, I don't think we've seen a tournament where this many big teams are depending on very young players as their best player. I don't think we've seen something like this before. Spain.
My pick for young player of the year.
Van Gelder picked Lamine Yamal as his young player of the tournament. So yes, congratulations, you try. But yeah, a lot of the big teams had young players like under 22, under 23 players as their best star player. I don't think I've seen that before. Like Spain, Yamal, Nico Williams, Germany, Musiala, Florian Wirtz. England when Menu came in. Palmer showed that he should have been given more minutes throughout the tournament.
Well,
I don't want to offend Curry because, like, I want to say, I was like, but I don't want to make that one turn into a different argument.
Saka, make you not take that argument come because he carried England the last final.
And I'm not even an Arsenal fan, but he was the best attacker they had.
He was the best player for England for a lot. Please, I beg you, make you not take that
argument. I don't even talk what I want to talk, but the argument already starts. So me, I don't go talk. Another episode, we will talk.
Like, maybe we can move it out next.
Every small chance.
I actually muted. Look, do you know how many United fans are muted on my? Even you, slightly. I mute you. KO. Kofi 233. Ralph. I mute you people. Why?
I make happy say you tell me this because now I go to start tag you. So
he tag me. I mean, did you know that? That tag me. Then I will block Smiley. That go and block him. So see, nothing like that. I don't want to see in Twitter because they look. It's true. Say Arsenal fans. Some Arsenal fans. I won't lie to you. Even me as an Arsenal fan, they vex me. Some of the utterances they make, I'm just like, guys, come on, guys. Can we, like, as much as we are all fans, I hate having football discussions where people are overly biased. Mm-hmm. Like, let's have a rational, like, don't start belittling. Yeah, I don't like that thing where you belittle another player because they're not in your team. That's why I gave props to Correa. But as soon as I gave props to Correa, I know Vangana can't vex me, so I deleted
it. Wait. The reason why I can't tweet about Kukurea is because at the beginning of the tournament, all the people that spoke about Spain, everybody kept picking on him. That he's the reason why they won't go far. He's the reason why they won't do this. And so for me and any other Chelsea fan who just feels our player has been picked on, it's a redemption.
I understand that. But my point is that when we are having discussion about football, that's one of the things we're vexing about some Arsenal fans, as majority of Manchester United fans. Mm. They can't have rational conversations without putting a bias in there.
Yeah.
Menu played, I don't want to admit it, but Menu played very well. Very mature. Yeah.
He changed their football
at times. No, Menu is better than Rice. I'm just like, Can you just have one that is good and the other? Like, why does one have to be better than the other? They say Rice not play any forward passes. Meanwhile, he had most forward passes for England in the tournament. I'm just like, what is this bias team where you put?
All I can say is that your boy wasn't looking good for him, bruv.
There were times, look, but stats prove otherwise.
But it is part
of football. You cannot have one without the other. It is part of football.
So if he
is the same way, it's the same way.
Make a base you. If he did center back position, where then do the Adama passes, triangle, where then take him, where he pass him to Jude for in front, that be also forward pass. You see,
you want only line breaking through passes. How many men you play? Let me give a fuck. See, I tell you I want us to have conversations. That's why a lot of times when I have people, I just bow out because nobody wants to be unbiased and talk about a player without team allegiances.
Mm-hmm.
If player they perform, if they perform. Make you not talk say if they another team, so you know they perform. But because people they do like if they another team, where then one day they talk. So means if they don't talk, I will talk shit.
But you see, Corey, the problem we say, you see, it's not about us not being biased. It's that sometimes people don't want to accept, like Declan Rice. Declan Rice has a set of things he's fantastic at.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and there are things he can definitely improve space, on.
Breaking passes. You know, covering.
Then take some ball off him. Simmons, Netherlands goal. They take the ball off him. And immediately I say, Rice, this thing, and learn them for here. Make you not take him back to my team. Because this thing, where you make.
You see,
Simon shake you. That be Champions League go up, you know.
You see, and that's the problem. That's Rice has a set of things he's good at. Passing is not part of his excellent skill set. And not there. It's true. And you have to accept it. It's not, if you tell me.
I disagree. So, okay. So, is Maino a better passer than he is?
From the evidence available.
Spanish.
From the evidence available. Maino, look, from the evidence available. Okay. Maino is a better passer. He's a better passer than Rice.
FP Ref is not far away.
But Rice is a better, like he's better defensively. Defensively aware. He's better at closing spaces. He's better at shutting down, like cutting out passes. Those things. He's far better than how do you call it? Than Maino. And that's the thing. If you take, you see, football is a game, one of passion, two of the eye tests, and then three of statistics. So if we pass all the three before everybody go agree, say it's like Cole Palmer. When I give it a square example, everybody knows if Cole Palmer come inside, if you get a ball, he know the look back also. Forward passes, only forward. He, as far as there's somebody there, he will try and find the person. So if you gotta tell me that Cole Palmer is not very good at protecting the ball as Saka is, I won't argue with you about that. Because Saka is very good at protecting the ball, putting himself in the position where the ball cannot be taken off him. Palmer has to learn that. He might be doing it in some instances, but he's not as good as Saka at that. But if he come forward passes, like the pass he take give Watkins like this, Arsenal fans won't do it. So everybody, it be simple pass. It be simple. Maza, if you take Saka put that position, 9 out of 10, he won't give that pass. 9 out of 10, he won't give that pass. Because don't forget, it wasn't just Watkins making the darting run. Saka was also ahead of him. And 9 out of 10, most players will give the ball to Saka for him to drive at the defense. So sometimes, if you want us to have objective, what do they call, unbiased discussions, you must first accept that there are certain things my player can do. If you can't accept that Rice is not good at passing, I don't know where we start from the objectivity. I don't know where we go start from. You understand? I won't argue with you if you say Rice is very good defensively, cutting out and this. Yeah, fantastic player. He's very, very good. I watched him. I wanted him at Chelsea, but we didn't get him. We have Caicedo. I'm happy to go with that. So that'd be where the United fans, then be unreasonable. Then that one I agree with you. Then be unreasonable. If then get three star boys, two, who that?
Maino,
then Garnacho. That'd be all. As for them, those, if you say anything about those two players, you're in trouble.
And I'm mad now. I'm mad.
You're in trouble. I'm mad. Baby, this is the bench.
Abidjan Messi.
The bench. This is the bench again.
So you
let me. If I say I go Devon to start, we will go day here, Chair.
Just accept the rise in person. I can't crack. Let me move on.
So yeah, like I was saying, plenty big teams were dependent on very young players, and for me, that's why when people talk about how football has fallen off, blah blah blah, like it's very unfortunate for me. I don't know whether unfortunate is the word I'm looking for, but if you see, for me, if you see the number of top talents coming through, you should be excited about what the future holds. Because in the end, football goes through these transition periods where the top players are fading out and a new crop is coming out. The time Kaká won Ballon d'Or, you can't tell me that like all those big boys were at the top. Them Henry and things, they were slowly in decline. Ronaldinho and things, they were in decline for the new Messi Ronaldo era to come in. So it's a similar situation where when Owen 2-1, like we've had down periods.
30 plus just not one leg go. We just don't, there's no one leg go of this. There's no one leg go.
France 98.
Look, France 98. They just don't want to leg go.
Korea,
I already have this theory that one thing that makes players. Players seem very great is their aura. Aura, like a lot of the great players, it's not just the fact that they were talented, but it's like if you see them, like this guy be player. Like if Ronaldo stand your front, this guy be player. For me, the player with the most aura in the history of football is Zidane. If I see Zidane, it will feel like I see Peche. Like demigod. That's just how I see. Like them people, and for me, I think it's very hard for older fans to see aura in players who are like half their age. Like this small boy, what's this guy come to? Like, hey, like somebody be 18 years, 19 years, and says, what's or you go, maybe you go admit to this guy's talent.
But I think it's because we watch too much football now, actually.
There's so also
we
that.
Watch training. We see them, we see this every club they release inside, then they release training.
Inside
there's
training.
Too much access.
Inside training. So too there's much too access much access. To. So we see everything they do, and that familiarity has led to contempt, actually.
Social media age, bro.
Plus, yeah, the way we even watch football now, like, people now are watching football just to hate. They are not watching to appreciate what they are seeing. Mm-hmm. Like, Kofi this three, match, three. Are they come hate on Saka?
Kofi 2-3-3, me, I won't talk. Like, that guy, he watch ball to enjoy football. If he sits ball in back, he may set somebody in downfall. Kofi change,
my boy Kamali. Kamali too. If you go watch, but every day he be hate watch. He will come at Cucurella hate watch. He can't watch this guy. He hates this guy.
Don't get me wrong. Hate watch nice. Oh, nice. Rough.
It can't be. It can't be the entire reason that you're watching. Like people exactly. Watch this match, this game. I'm come to highlight every single bad thing that this player does. So the player will feel do 100 good things. If you do maybe 2 bad. That's the only clip you will see online. Like, I won't detract more, but like somebody like De Ligt, you know, in his Juventus first season, he started the season off very badly. Like, he made a very bad high profile mistakes. There was a period where 3 games in a row he gave away 3 penalties, all handballs, and that was all the talk that was going on about him. For the rest of the season, he was actually very good, and most Juve fans will tell you that he was their best player for the rest of the season. But nobody like. Because that one, it's not going to make them into the clips on social media. What everybody will remember is that this guy gave away 3 handballs. This guy gave away 3 penalties.
The media also have a big role to play in the way they portray players to the rest of the audience. Gary Neville's dig at Cucurella before the tournament even began. Like, bro, let the guy kick a ball. Like, why are you?
He's the reason why.
The reason why we know. And he has to be a high profile pundit. Come on,
and,
bro, can we
see? And just think about it. Just think about it. You, your own England, you are going into the tournament with a right back playing left back. So are you telling me that
you don't get left
better left back than realized as left back? Like,
come on. And that's why I like Ian Wright. As much as Wright, the Arsenal fan, when he talks about other players, you know they bash
it's
any player.
He's very honest.
He'd be very honest. He'd big up everybody, even in his own podcast. That he at least is a Wright's house. Even in his own podcast, he doesn't bash any player. They give more props to guys.
Yeah,
but Neville, that guy, manager, you feel, pundit, you feel. Why?
Then two hideous things. Eden Carragher. Then two hideous.
Eden Carragher.
I say the United old boys, all the long way they go through us, they go through. All the long way they go through us.
But let me just add this here. Cucurella had an interview mid-tournament when everybody started saying, oh, wow, it seems Cucurella has having a fantastic tournament. And he said that when he moved to Chelsea, a lot of people started judging him by the price that was paid for him to come and join Chelsea. But he himself, he has no control over the price that he's bought for. Same applies for Rice. Same applies for any other Pogba. All those other players that they've bought for exorbitant fees, as we can see. That money, it not be the players and they determine that kind of money. We all we there here, we talk about Amadou Onana to Villa. We all we there here. If we say make we quote price for Amadou Onana to Villa, none of us will quote more than 30 million.
Yeah,
I get 25. But they've paid 50 for him. Does it mean that if Amadou Onana joins Villa and starts making some mistakes or starts doing certain things, it means that he's not worth the money? And because of that, all of a sudden, they will just be insulting him, coming at him, his fans from his own team. And that's the problem. There are fans
that hate,
like, for instance, again, you people talk every time, they like to pull Chelsea, but it's my club, and that's all me I know, right? There are fans, there are Chelsea fans, that because they hate Boehly and Clelic, hate everything, every player they've bought so far. So if the player makes a mistake, they find it as an avenue to use to insult Boehly and Clelic. So they will insult the player.
Social media age, bro. Look, if Kaká was bought for a certain amount, we started blast. Then we started talking like, what the hell, bro? Like back in the day, they started saying you were bought for. There are times where even Bergkamp, back in the day, he was record transfer and things. He didn't start out hitting the ground, bro. And it was, then I'd be tabloids. You for talk, go pick up the paper on the way before you go see it. Right now, you pick up your phone. This guy's sharp. Then the whole world here. All your followers. If somebody retweet, then it turn viral. Then the player see, then it pin up. It's the age, bro.
And I think also one thing about this too is that maybe back in the day when players are going for these exorbitant prices, they are usually more established players. Everybody knows that is this person's quality. So if they're no C-top, it's more like the player no, he's a good player who no come C-top. So it's analyzed through that lens. But right now, because football has become very competitive and everybody wants the next big thing, they are overpaying for players who are not yet at that level. So already there's a huge waste on your
team. No duper.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
I use United as an example. Hoyland nowhere close.
No.
I'm going to use United because it's easy for me to use United.
PSG, they like that, you know. PSG, they like that.
United. Hoyland was nowhere close to being a 70 million player. But they just think of him as somebody. They think Anthony, if I talk about him, my heart cramps. Make I use the one I go manage. So, Hoyland is nowhere close to being a 70 million player. But they just see him as somebody who. In the next few years, maybe he can reach there, but he's nowhere close to being that kind of player. If we sign him, maybe 20 million, he banks 16 goals in all competition. Then we'll talk, it's a good return. Mm-hmm. But right now, you come for 70 million immediately. Everybody expects 30 goals minimum.
But he goes double 14 or something like that. So we know.
But in the end, he finished the season with 16 goals.
Which is fantastic, actually.
Good.
Yeah,
16 goals.
16 goals.
It's a decent return for a 20-year-old player.
That is not bad. But they will highlight him through the lens. See, he
comes
for 16, 0014, then since. But 16 goals in the whole season. Look, we are forgetting Higuain and them boys. Not at first, it'd be 20 goals, then they bang a season, then big thing. 16 goals is solid, bro.
It's a very solid for a 20
striker.
Yeah.
I guess striker will give me 4 goals the whole of last season.
See, meanwhile, somebody like Jackson was hired for like a fraction of the half the price, plus or minus, of this thing. But look at how people were on the back of Jackson all season. He finished with a slightly more, I think, 17 goals across all competition. And almost like double digit assists. But nobody talk about that. At the end of the season, when he had outscored all the other strikers for other people than my team, it wasn't a matter of he's a bad. After they spent the whole season telling like he's a bad player, now it is he's not the one to take Chelsea forward. If you go, can't tell me the player make you take we go forward. You know, but and I think now with football fans and viewers of football are less, much like they're grace period. Bro, it's not even just to players, it's also to coaches. I've seen people say this coach will come because the club didn't get the coach I wanted. How many matches before we can start attacking the coach?
Yeah,
it's too much agenda.
And that's it comes down to my bias thing. People can't talk without a certain bias on it. Like, you won't bring the person down. Poch went and sacked me. I was like, I wanted them to sack him because he was doing a good job.
You wanted them to keep him or you wanted them to sack him?
I wanted them to, like, when they sacked him, I was happy because he was doing a good job.
Okay.
And I don't want Chelsea to become
the way he ended the season. The way he ended the season, it was looking promising for the following season.
It was looking promising. Yeah. So when they sacked him, I was like, what the hell is this wrong with this team? Like, for me as an Arsenal fan and the kind of transition that we've been through, when they sack somebody, there has to be a legitimate reason why they sacked this guy.
But if Arteta, you guys went through some low
points. Bro, if it ain't fit, second.
Make we not go back to Poch, because if you just use the position we finish, it will mask over a lot of things that Chelsea fans who watched the team throughout the season can tell you wasn't good. So make we know the point is, people are less forgiving nowadays. People are having agenda against players in their, like, what happened to just being tribal about your team? Supporting a player in your team, whether he's having a good part. Like right now, I mean, I will talk shit about Mason Mount, but I don't expect that Smiley go also can't tap and go, oh, Mason Mount is shan, he never will make him for here. Then no, I don't expect a United fan to say that. You may not like the player, but he is a player of your team, and at the very least, you should wish him well.
Me, one thing about me is that even if you're a player in my team and I don't like you, I'm always happy or eager for you to prove me wrong. Because
exactly,
who does it affect if you prove me?
In Ketia, I'm not happy.
You are hate, you see. with the touch,
I'm not
having
that guy for left party. For left party.
But you, let me just move the conversation back to the Euros.
Yeah.
Well, just one random thing. I don't know whether it's an observation or a feeling I have about how the direction football is going. It's just, I don't want to sound, I don't want to sound xenophobic or like some right-wing person or something. But does it not rub people the wrong way? Like, I feel a little some way about the fact that football, like international football in particular, is being determined now by immigration policy and everything. And I'm not saying this in a negative way. Let me just clarify.
It's really giving.
No, I'm not saying this in a negative way.
No.
I'm saying it more in the sense that now the major like national teams have access to players that under normal circumstances they would probably never have access to in the past. Like, for example, in the past, if you're going to play an Italian team, you know that you're going to face a team that is very tactically astute, but they don't have a lot of flair. They don't have plenty dribblers. They are very tactically disciplined, hard to break down, not too much flair. If you're going to play a Spanish team, you're going to face a team that is very technically brilliant, but not too much pace and power. If you're going to play a team like England, plenty pace and power, but now all those teams are able to get players who are able to fill in the gaps. Like in the past, like Spain, where Spain go pass, go get wingers like Nico Williams and Williams. The means go get Adama Traore. Where Spain will go get Matuman and Adama Traore?
See, even let's even come down to Jesus Navas for Spain. That guy be. I just did
all run. Speed.
And I cross. Just did run and I go cross. Yamal, how many people look at this? How many people in train? See what Williams's goal against? He trained somebody. We blast him into the top of.
It was I know the goal you're talking about, but it's also skipped my.
And when he scored that goal, I was just like, look, whatever you for Bia, give this boy Bia. Because one-on-one, to be able to beat your player like this, then you smash him into the roof. That composure, not a lot of players
and against
in Spain
France,
get
he
that.
Hit the crossbar too, against France, Williams.
Yeah. How many times Pickford bailed England out on Yao Yamal? It was two good chances Yao Yamal gets way if we bury this thing. But he dribbled people and shook people before he took those shots. So if Spain, if you go back to them, Jesus Navas, the rest is so Antonio Reyes.
Even 2012 Euros, they were playing David Silva on the wings, Mata on the wings. It was essentially midfielders playing on the wings.
And now they just play false nine in one of those.
False nine. Now they have these fast, quick wingers and things who they would usually not
say
produce.
They're both black.
don't you? Let and me also, me. Like, that was also one of the unique things about international football.
Let me
in
give
the
you
sense
another
that,
example. Let me give you another example. Belgium. Then go get Bakayoko. You know, be there.
Amadou Onana, 6'4" midfielder. Amadou Onana.
Bakayoko.
His legs long.
Listen, the name. Amadou. This guy when he play against Senegal Flanders. Or Cameroon
or Congo
or Congo.
Like, you they play Belgium. Like, Bakayoko. Like, there's Johan Bakayoko.
Doku.
You for the play black guy. You should be playing
see, and here's the thing. Me, I'm not even saying it's not even in a negative way. It's just more of the fact that international football, when you go and play, you have all these teams who are very unique in what you are going to face. Like I said, Italy, very tactically astute. Mm-hmm. Spain, very technically brilliant. England, pace and power. Even if you go to Japan, then get them small, pitchy players who they don't get plenty strength. But yes, so on a good Honda. Day, Honda. On a good day, even catch you, they go if it damage you. Like,
what be that self? Germany, like, the one you know the freaky player, no?
Nakamura. I never go forget that name.
Like, Germany, they are a very, like, well-oiled machine, very efficient players. But now it's like the lines between the different teams and their qualities is being blurred because now everybody is getting all these similar players from outside to come and bridge the gap. So it's almost like club football where now teams are able to build their ideal team rather than using what you have and maximizing that. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a bit unfortunate that that's difference, because it's only international football where you could have that difference, where this team is a completely unique skill set you are going
with
to face.
Unique identity.
Identity.
Since them are
from
start. I also want to talk about something that came up during this, and I want to shout out our boy Kawawa. First of all, my question be say, I'm talking about Agolu 11. Why say Dembele no did that team inside?
I think I said Dembele be captain.
He know that team inside. Homelander will be captain for them.
I forgot what they are living. I will put for the listeners who don't know or haven't been following. Our boy Kawa has been posting his own Agolu 11 for the Euros.
If you get teamway players, basically, if you don't know, if you take the ball put ground, you can't give a floor pass. Like, you know, Wanda is very neat, clean. Where you have a chance to get it over the bar, rugby passes, then kind of one, you did that goal. So Pickford definitely be the keeper. Because
I have a question about the Euros and one particular player. Why are people picking on Bellingham?
I think it's a matter of aura. People don't
like they want him to fail.
Yes, people what don't aura? Like the aura.
Me, funny.
What's wrong with his aura?
Me, I don't even. Here's the thing. I think Bellingham has a lot of aura for like. An English player, young, but the thing is, he's just become. I think people have pieced together a lot of things and decided that he's not a likable person.
Yeah.
So now they just decided to, like, for example, they said that he likes to little bro players, like that thing where he won't show you say he be big man, he be
big boss.
You know those people who
want to live. No bounce.
You know a lot of male friendship groups get that guy for inside way. If you see women around, he won't impress. So he won't come between the neck.
He
likes to belittle the boys. Google like and put you in a neck lock. Come then kind of things. Where they say Bellingham, he get them tendencies. And also, people have also pulled old clips from his Dortmund days and things and say he's disrespectful to his teammates. I've even seen a whole thread that said that at Dortmund, he wasn't really liked in the dressing room. So then say, and also then say they like do PR. That PR thing is a general thing among English players right now. A lot of the English players, they like do PR. Rashford, everybody. Mount, everybody.
Mount, they like that thing. He take pass out while lie, that guy.
Rashford, you know, me, they feed the masses just for score PR.
But isn't it just the evolution of football?
Yes, but look, at the end of the day, people don't want to. When people decide you are something in their mind,
nothing
it's
can
hard
change
for them to objectively see that you are not. And that's what they are doing to Ben.
It's more like confirmation bias.
Bro,
it's confirmation bias. Because you said that he's this. So now, at every point,
where I am.
I won't lie. That goal where he scored for England, where he talk who else, no? Who else? The team is saying he has put his mouth, he has put his, like,
his
he's
work, where shown the mouth, up. Where his,
yeah, yeah, he's shown up for Real Madrid. He's shown up for England in clutch times. Them are opening game where they suffer. You know, me, we go suffer, we head the ball, put inside.
Yeah, and these things, it's about
doing that.
I don't talk about coding.
This thing is just about whether you're liked or not. Because if maybe Messi do this thing, where you go, Messi come out in shirts, go show him for Real Madrid crowd.
They say he be humble. They say he be humble. For years, they said Ronaldo was arrogant and Messi is humble. For years.
Everything depends on how you are seen and whether people like you. If people like you, everything you do is proof of why you're a good person and blah, blah, blah. If they don't like you,
can we say only one player. CR7?
Only one
player. CR7 has always been a victim of this because CR7, for him to on top, they put him in this good versus evil battle where Messi is good, CR7 is evil. And he played into that narrative because he didn't have a problem feeding into that narrative. So it was always good versus evil. Mm-hmm. And till now, that's how it is. Right now, we name him Homelander. And I mean...
but we know they call Messi Homelander. But it'd be cool. Anyway, but you see, at the end of the day, Corey, the reason why people are hating on Bellingham is simple. Personally, I'm not his biggest fan. I can't seem... I'm still trying to identify what exactly he is. Is he an 8? Is he a 6? Is he a 10? Is he a box-to-box? What exactly? I can't seem to figure that out. Maybe I have to watch Real Madrid because England guys have kids tax be like minus 40 billion. So maybe Real Madrid might be the best place to see exactly who he is, right? But I won't lie and say that he's a bad player or he be disrespectful. Or bro, if you are coming clutch for your team, mm-hmm. I have no problems with you doing what you need to do. I have no problems. See, as far as if your mouth started talk, your mouth finish in game, it do you not talk, say, what he talks say?
Speak.
Somebody move to...
Speak now.
He said, speak now. Somebody move to him on in comments or something. He said, he'll be 16. So if he starts Twitch after the game, he said, can't just that person. Mm-hmm. But if your mouth started move anyhow, his body of work on their pitch speaks for him. If you see somebody like Nico Williams, he go love that thing. Why the way he playing ball? Go see say.
Like I give an example. England. I have a feeling England media too. They are to Bellingham in negativity, because or maybe it's just Twitter. But I don't think if the way he played for Real Madrid last season, nobody was saying this during the season.
Because nobody was
this
watching.
Tournament.
It's really the tournaments where
people were watching Bellingham, but this tournaments people started pick on him.
Yeah, but that's because nobody. When I say nobody was watching, I mean it wasn't a consistent like the people then they watch. It be people then they like La Liga, but then they watch. They say me and you, we they watch two La Liga matches a season. It be a Clasico one, a Clasico two. If you know they go watch Barca or Real Madrid do anything, I go see highlights of something where somebody do it, Vinicius is it. So we actually, if you ask me how Real Madrid actually play, all I know is they then get injuries. But when he comes back to England, now all attention of the nation is on him. And the few people that like him or whatever, create a narrative around him. And everybody is not watching, just like Smiley, they talk. They know they go watch CSA, like with a neutral. Then they come there with preconceived notion of the guy. And they are trying to fit anything they see. So if Bellingham fall down small, self lifting, like, we said it. He doesn't work hard for the team. We knew it. We got him lying there. Everybody's playing, he's lying there. So then come there plus preconceived notion that of the guy. And then they are trying to fit the guy into that notion. You know what? So I think that's what's going on, really. But
for me, honestly, I watched a number of Real Madrid games because I was interested to see how Bellingham would do, even though he didn't play where I was expecting him to play because he made his name playing deeper in midfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and also one thing I would talk to you, see the Bellingham agenda, it starts from Barca fans. Barca fans, they start this thing. They start in the, it just say at the time, it wasn't that loud. But Barca fans are the ones who started this thing that he will be talented. He just score goals. He just go end up on the end of like some tapping. And that didn't start that thing from like mid-season. Where the thing just grows, where it comes
because then get your boy where your boy know the boss, all of a sudden, see that. I don't want to talk about it.
So, I beg. So,
I guess so, they can go back, pick up.
I beg you. So, the whole thing for me is that, honestly, Real Madrid, they've done a bit of, maybe they might have done a bit of long-term damage to Bellingham in where they played him, because this season they played him further up the pitch. It's not going to be like that for the rest of his career. You have to come back into midfield. And I feel like once you get into that mindset that you are a goal scorer, now when you come back deeper, it might affect you mentally when you are not scoring as many goals. And you'll be doing things that you'd naturally not be doing, because now you want to keep scoring goals. Right now, you get your signature celebration and things. You know, if you have signature celebration and you score 2 goals a season, like, once you get signature celebration, you will score a significant number of goals.
That's true.
So it's like, right, Real Madrid also contribute, because Bellingham is not a 10. Honestly, I don't think he's an 8. He's supposed to play defense. Because here's the thing, he doesn't create enough to be a 10 in a big team, in a top side. And like, the goal scoring, it was mainly because he was playing further up the pitch. Even though he has a good awareness of like when to arrive in the box.
He's not a good dribbler as well.
So even for England long term, there's going to be a time where they will have to make a decision that like, this guy, he can't play 10 for us, because he's not going to create enough chances for us long term.
Foden dribbler, is more of a 10 than he is.
Yeah. The dribbler, I think he's really technically gifted. It's just that when you play him further up the pitch, it's easier to be like it's easier to have this ball control and everything when you're playing deeper in midfield, because you're not being pressed as much as when you're in the final third. When you're in the final third, everybody's on you, but you have more time on the ball, slightly more time on the ball when you're deeper in midfield, and I feel like that's where he's at his best. At least when it comes to the other parts of football. Right now, where goal scoring come enter in mind, inside, people will be judging him by that going forward. And that's going to be very unfortunate for me, because that's not how they should be seeing him. He made his name at Dortmund as a deeper line midfielder. So,
since we are talking about individuals, I want to bring Philip Walter Foden to the front of the class, because you can't tell me 7 matches, 7 starts. Thank you. That's it. That's all we can see. 7 matches, 7 starts. We can't. All the other be zero.
Somebody tried to tell me he had a decent game. I said, dude, he had a decent half. That's the best. He had one half that was like, oh, Foden has arrived at the tournament, and then he left again.
Not be the one where he plays on short, where he hit the bar, no.
He dribbled the keeper with a clear off the line.
Wait, he hits the bar. Is it not the game? I think it was the same final against the Dutch, right? I think it was against the Netherlands. Also,
What I got to tell you is that Pep has turned him and a lot of the other attackers in the team into robots. He goes sign person who is creative, like a very creative and brilliant individual, and turn him into a robot for a system. And once you enter that mindset, like
I just, but you know that the funny thing is, and I didn't watch, so if the people then they lie. But I've heard that actually even like under 21 England and things, Foden was always the guy that comes at the end of the move. So you won't have Foden actually creating, like in the sense of creation. Like
he arrives, like Palmer, he's a final like third guy.
So Palmer, then the guy where he did Nottingham Forest, what be named him? Oh, Nottingham Forest number 10. Oh,
Gibbs-White,
those two will create, and then Foden and Brewster will finish. Right? They will create, and then Foden and Brewster will finish. So that's the kind of player that he is. And if that's the kind of player that he is, then honestly, I don't know where England will play him. Because he and Bellingham, as we've seen already in this year, will occupy the same quadrants and boxes or same spaces, and they will get in each other's way. So technically, it means that if Bellingham is on the pitch, Foden must be on the bench. I think this tournament has shown that actually Foden's place in the international team is on the bench, with Watkins and Eberechi and those guys. Let actual bowlers, excuse my French, actually play. And then, when we need you, we bring you on board to help.
What England just needs to do is just go back to basics and play square pegs in square holes, round pegs in round holes. Put not this midfielder in winger position, that kind of thing. Like, if you look at the France team, before this, France, they've moved away from their fundamentals, and I feel like that's one of the reasons why they struggled because their best football came when they had Giroud up top, Mbappe on the left, Griezmann behind, everybody playing in their actual position.
Man on the right.
Giroud will score goals plenty, but he go do the job he won't make it do. Right now, you are trying to figure out whether he wants Foden or Bellingham on the left, all these things. Spain like this. Spain played the right players in the right positions.
Exactly.
Left winger and left on the left wing, right winger on the right wing, Morata up top, Omo. Oh, everybody was where they should be. Rodgers, sometimes football can be simple. Sometimes football can be simple.
Yep.
And that's one thing we actually focused on. I think also Alvaro Morata had a fantastic tournament. I think, like, I saw Morata at Chelsea, right? And I saw him when he left. There was no bad blood when he left. I was happy he left. I just think England wasn't for him, generally. But the amount of maturity that he showed in this tournament, that hard work.
I have to say I was impressed.
The hard work he didn't. I don't think he's got. Maybe he's got one goal or something. Yeah. Maybe he didn't even score or something. But nobody
nice finish,
doubt that was a captain's performance at this tournament. Just killing himself for the team, coming back, dragging defenders out of position,
making the right runs, everything stretching the defense.
Was, like at the point, I was like, hey. Is this money laundered out of Alvaro Morata?
And look at Spain and even their substitution. When Yamal came off, Ferran Torres came on. When Pedri went off, Omo came on. When Rodri went off, Zubamendi came. Mm-hmm. When Ruiz went off, the Merino guy came on. Dude, they were just subbing like for like. Just where runs.
If Morata goes off Obayazal or whatever they call him,
they come on. But even that guy, he not be striker.
Yeah, but he's the best.
He's the closest they had to a replacement, and he won them the freaking tournament. Just saying. Like even after all that, he still won them because the other people did. Look, England carried at least four or five players during this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Every game. They were carrying passengers. Mm-hmm. Every game. You had one of the best passers in Trent on the bench. And you played Walker, who had very, very iffy, questionable games.
Pace and nothing. That's what he is. Pace and nothing.
I keep saying one of the biggest mistakes, especially one of the biggest mistakes England made was not taking James Maddison. Because for me, England is lucky enough to be one of the few national teams that have the most like variety in every position.
Grealish?
Like for example, Grealish, not really. I think the thing is, England, they are the national team that
Grealish.
England are the national team that maybe every position they have like very different profiles who can give them something different. Like Rice back, you have Kyle Walker, and then you have Trent, you have Reece James. All of them, they give you different things in different effective ways. The left back, maybe right now it's a bit slight because of Luke Shaw's injury. But even then, if Luke Shaw was fit, I still think they should have taken Chilwell. I don't, because me, the same way Cucurella go, where he goes, he top.
Tyrell Mitchell.
Why was Tyrell Mitchell left at home? Why didn't he go?
If you come into midfield, you have Foden, the people who they classified them as number 10s for this tournament, Foden, Bellingham, and the rest. They give you something very different to what Maddison brings. Because Maddison is a high-volume creator. So in games where you are struggling to break down the team, that's the type of player you can bring on to come and give that eye through the middle pass or whatever they call them, just to give you something different. So especially for a 26-man squad, you should be looking to put like different profiles who can change the game whenever you want, rather than just picking names. Like, the Watson guy, for example, like I know that he spoke a lot about him, that he has a lot of potential. But if you have a starting 11, a set starting 11, Watson is not the type of player who you bring on to come and change anything. He's a good player to fit. If he was a starter, fine. But if he's not a starter, he's not the type that you bring him on when you are chasing the game and you come and do something different. Or when you're defending a lead, you see him as too young to bring him on in any case. So why did you bring him? Then just follow hype with him and bring him. Somebody like Maddison will bring you much more. I don't want to do agenda. I don't like Rashford, so I don't want to do agenda for Rashford. But I also think they needed a runner like Rashford, even though they took Anthony Gordon. I think Rashford has more of an X factor about him than Gordon, even though Rashford is not as good as he. So
Rashford was England, an outlet. England had no outlet this game. Exactly. They had no ball carriers. Like, everybody who would break the lines for them didn't. Gordon didn't play. Rashford didn't go.
Especially when you have someone, a striker like Harry Kane, who has decided to see himself as a playmaker. When you have a striker like that, the way to play around it is to have runners on both sides. Like the way Liverpool had Mane and Salah on both sides of Firmino. So that Firmino can come back, those two can make the runs, and it complements each other perfectly. But if everybody wants drop deep, who's going to make those runs?
Mario, but on the other hand too, I think, and I'm not premising this, let me premise this first. Kane had an absolutely woeful tournament. That's one I think we can all agree. But I think Kane had to be doing a lot of what he was doing because Foden wasn't doing what he was supposed to do.
There wasn't enough creativity coming from the center.
And maybe the people might think we are picking on him. But I feel like a lot of people had to do a lot of things to carry Foden. And even with all this carry,
somebody who will play of the season, he for perform. He not get choice.
No. And that's what I'm saying. That it is because he didn't perform, everybody had to keep do things that they are not supposed to do. People had to do extra. And so even when Kane is supposed to stay on the last man to create stretch their pitch, he will have to drop deep because Foden won't drop deep. You know, he has to go wide because Foden won't go wide. You know, he has to fill the pockets because Foden won't do that, even though that's what he's supposed to do. And I don't know if that's coaching or that's just Foden being uncomfortable in this setup.
Pep drill the boys, make right now. He knows if he did Man City, if he did here, Bernardo Silva would be here, Haaland would be here. So if you put them in a different environment, it'd be very difficult for him to find his bearing. I remember there was one point where he made this run where he raised his head. Nobody there around. I should say he coughs because he's used to every time he lifts. In fact, you know, for lifting head, he know exactly where this person could be. This person could be. You can make passes in the blind and you know that somebody would be there. But now,
I'm not even a Pep stan, but you know, people they won't talk like if it's like a Pep way, a lot of teams don't report and everybody. The problem is that people are trying to copy Pep from 8 years ago. Old Pep. Pep, even within the season, he defeat changed 3 times. By the time you will finish copying the Pep that you think you are copying, Pep has changed already twice. And you are not as good as Pep to respond. So,
as long as I'm hosting this episode, me and we will allow any Pep pops for here. So, we've come to the end of this episode. If you haven't done this already, please follow us on our social media pages. On Twitter and Instagram, it's ATW Podcast GCR. On TikTok, it's After the Whistle. On YouTube, it's After the Whistle Podcast. And yeah, give us a 5-star rating on any of the podcast platforms, wherever you listen, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, Amazon, everywhere podcast day every day. And then our YouTube, our last episode did quite well. So the YouTube, we are still trying to grow it. We are still on the baby stage. So we beg, if you can go and watch the episode, if you want to see our faces, go and watch the episode on our YouTube. Nice. Subscribe, like, share. The sharing there is very important to us. Like, please share, whether it's the YouTube you are watching, whether it's the Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever you are watching, wherever you are listening, please share. If you see our tweets, retweets, let us reach a wider audience so that we can get more money to keep doing this and ginger ourselves. So yeah, Vangela Silva's cry.
I cry something. We've been nominated for something.
Oh, Charlie, I should have said this at the beginning of the episode.
You see.
Anyway, we've been nominated once again, 2 years in a row. We've been nominated for the APVA, African Podcast Voices Association. Is it? Yeah, African Podcast Voices Association. APVA. Sports Podcast of the Year, Africa. It's not Ghana. It's Africa.
We know they play local champion. Right now we go continental.
Yeah, there were 4 of us nominated, so we are among the top 4. The other podcast, I think one is from Kenya, one is
we don't care where they are.
I mean, I just show say, yeah, we'll be international. We know they play with the local boys who So yeah, we've been nominated for a sports podcast of the year. I'm not sure if the voting link is out yet, but if and when it comes out, I'll make sure that it's put out so that you guys can all go and vote for us.
See the way we put it and enjoy the content. Just vote.
Yeah. Just vote. Last year the awards were free because already last year the nominees we don't see until like 3 weeks, one month later. Yeah. By that time, the other people do their campaign finish. I mean, now we become campaign for the police station. So yeah, this time please, we'll make sure that the voting is done early so that we can bring the trophy home for Ghana. So yeah, Charlie guys, thank you for this one. Charlie, can you tell me you will come join me? You never come join me. I'll be cool. Thanks for joining us.
Charlie guys, thanks
again for joining us. And as always, ATW dominates the conversation.
This has been a Gold Coast Reports production. Catch up on episodes and discover more shows from our network on listen2gcr.com.